Welcome to the Shaping Portsmouth podcast. Shaping Portsmouth is a collaboration of key Portsmouth businesses, transforming Portsmouth together. Hello and welcome to another Shaping Portsmouth podcast with me, CEO Dave Humphreys. And today I am joined by none other than Joe Weston-McDowell from Motivate. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you so much. It's really great to be here. This is becoming a Portsmouth institution, this podcast, isn't it? So I feel very honoured to be invited to be here today.
I'm very pleased that we're being thought of as a Portsmouth institution. That's great.
Absolutely.
That's great.
As it's Shaping Portsmouth as well, a pillar of the community.
Thank you. So people may know you from Motivate, where you currently are. They may know you from your previous role, Hampshire Chamber.
Indeed,
We'll talk about that as well. But let's start with a bit about you. Are you from Portsmouth originally, Joe?
No. Actually, not that you'd be able to tell, but I'm actually a Scouser.
Right.
He found himself in the South. Yeah, my parents and my family all from Liverpool and sort of surrounding areas. Yeah, very proud. A proud Evertonian, you know. So still a blue football club. You know, hopefully that gives me a pass. I moved down to Portsmouth in 2023. My wife is a marine biologist and works for another amazing charity based here in the city called Orca, who do some amazing work all over the world, literally all over the world, with whales and dolphins, sort of research, protection, working with the cruise industry and others. And they have their base in Portsmouth Port, which is what initially brought me down here. So, yeah, sort of family life moved.
Mm.
Before that, I spent a decade living, working in Birmingham, which is a city I love, and you know, was really, really lucky to work for the university for a number of years there on various projects to do with raising money, research, looking at working with young people, as well as a whole host of other things in terms of working with the NHS and others, which is a city I went to because I studied there. I was at university there. So started in Liverpool through Birmingham and then found myself in Portsmouth. I think I've been very lucky, actually, you know, working with the Chamber, working Motivate. I've been introduced to so many amazing people and actually really that draw to this coastal community, you know, this place that, you know, lots of previous industry, you know, small, it's really kind of condensed, but actually there's a real kind of energy that comes from that. It reminds me of Liverpool. It reminds me of Birmingham, you know, 10 years ago, this really exciting energy there, which I'm really... really pleased to be part of. So an interesting journey, sort of about as inland as you could go with the coast on either side. So it's been...
In fact, it's interesting. You wouldn't be the first person to describe Portsmouth perhaps as a northern city in the south.
It does have that energy, I think. I think there's a, you know, there are, I mean, stereotypes are terrible things, aren't they? You know, this idea that, you know, all southerners are sort of, you know, mean, or the idea that all sort of northerners are stingy and all this other stuff. I think, you know, that of course none of them are true. But I do think there is something about that island mentality, you know, that sense of all being from a shared place, a sense of like identity. I think there's, you know, something special about that. I do think there is something about, you know, being on the coast, you know, you're a gateway, aren't you?
It
makes you a welcoming people, you know, it makes you, I mean, certainly as someone who's come to live here, I've always felt incredibly welcome. I've made some, you know, great friends, you know, both me and my wife have felt very supported. And certainly for working in the charitable space, you know, you get to see the best of people. And actually, I think that Portsmouth, as well as our surrounding, you know, neighbours, Gosport, Havant, Fareham, very much share that sort of energy as well. So yeah, I think it definitely has that sort of a Scouse energy, which is something I say with the greatest of praise, I think, absolutely. And a little bit of work to do on the whole music scene, I think, still. There's a few kind of big Liverpool hitters, I think. But you know, there are some good. And obviously, just after Victorious in the summer, you know, it's hard to say that Portsmouth isn't... it's obviously got an up-and-coming music vibe because there's so many local bands happening there as well. So.
Crystal Tides did a great job stepping in on the main stage
absolutely
at the weekend.
They did, 100%.
Third time at Victorious in Indeed. 3 years and another stonking set. And Harvey J. Dodson opened up on Sunday, another great local band.
Absolutely,
And I think Millie over on the... On the castle stage, so some great and loads of local music on the small stage.
100%. In fact, I think I've got another sort of Pompey milestone to tick off just a little bit in a few weeks' time. I'm actually going to the Wedgwood Room for the first time, which I've not done yet. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's going to be epic.
You're
going to
like that.
So, absolutely.
It's a Portsmouth institution.
It really is. Yeah. A lot of my colleagues have mentioned that. I'm going to see some music and I'm going to see some comedy as well. So
brilliant.
I think I'm seeing both parts of it.
Great.
And actually, you know, working with the university and others, you get to see so much of really really cool stuff happening, you know, both in pubs and clubs, but also, you know, not just on the main stage of Victorious, but everywhere. So yeah, how's that energy, which I love?
Yeah, so before we talk Motivate, I mentioned your previous role, which was Hampshire Chamber. Was that your first role in Portsmouth?
It was, yeah, it was. I sort of got the job working in, well, we knew we were moving down to Hampshire, and then sort of was looking for a role, and the role within the Chamber came up. And partly to look at the sort of partnerships and the kind of wider structure, you know, that sort of business development point of view, but also looking at what at the time was called the LSIP. That has had many different hats already.
And so for people that don't know what LSIP is, Local Skills Improvement
Plan, indeed, plan. Yeah, which was all about trying to connect the world of business with, you know, further education providers and making sure that the voice of young people was within that. Very much fit with my previous life working in sort of the university looking at social mobility, and but such a brilliant opportunity to sort of bring that to life and be involved in this, you know, across the Solent and for the Solent LSIP and then for the kind of North Hampshire and Surrey LSIP with that the team at Surrey Chambers of Commerce as well. And do you know what, I feel so lucky. It was an amazing opportunity. I got to meet so many amazing businesses from across the Chambers membership, got to partner with so many organizations that are seeking to move the needle on trying to, you know, raise awareness of investment in this region and in this county. And actually, I was lucky enough to have sort of Portsmouth as one of my focuses, which is one of the reasons I developed such brilliant connections down here and was involved in the Portsmouth and South Coast Business Week and other things, as well as focusing on areas like Basingstoke and Andover as well. And actually, there is a really interesting communities within Hampshire. You know, a lot of them are shaped by, you know, heavy industry. But actually, advanced manufacturing is so strong down here, whether it's defense or whether it's space technology. Gaming is a hugely influential industry in Hampshire and moving into sort of Surrey. But also, of course, the military as well, and actually the impact that leaves. But also, I think, you know, the real entrepreneurial spirit that exists in so many in this county. You know, there are a lot of people who do see a niche or have a specialism and really want to make something of themselves and do that. And actually a really interesting community of people coming together, which we were able to harness to then try and create a system that really works for the next generation. So, yeah, very proud of my time at the Chamber and ultimately, you know, and the team that are there, you know, from international trade through to the membership kind of body, really moving the county forward. And ultimately, they introduced me to Motivate, which was just fantastic. So
obviously, yeah, just as we all got to know you at the Chamber, you jumped ship.
Something
to
like
motivate.
That. Yes,
What was the driver there for you then? What inspired you to move to Motivate?
I mean, I think I enjoyed my job at the Chamber, the sort of business development, you know, the events, those kind of things. But at my heart, I am a fundraiser. You know, that's how I was trained. It's something that's been part of my life since I was 14 years old, raising money for causes that matter to me, volunteering, you know, it shaped the person I am. And actually, I you know, feel very lucky to have had some amazing experiences, and many of those have been shaped by the third sector. And so the opportunity came up with a charity that, you know, I'd learned to respect and been working with at the Chamber to not just do the fundraising, but also play a role in sort of the storytelling, you know, the sort of the communication, the marketing. In my industry, we call it donor experience, you know, and that's the moment you get to know an organization. Perhaps you may choose to give, and that might be a gift of time, it might be a gift of money, it might be a gift of opportunity. And through to seeing the realization of the difference you've made, you know, the opportunity to do that was really remarkable. Motivate is a real community charity, you know, strong roots into the communities we're proud to be part of. But it's also big because it does the same thing in lots of different areas. And so there was a scale there that I could really get on board with. And so I think the opportunity to move back towards that sort of social mobility power of education with a little bit of fundraising and then bringing all my sort of business understanding, it was too good to pass up. And actually, as much as I, you know, loved the members of the Chamber, and I did, they're all incredible people wanting to really make great things happen. Getting to work for some amazing young people here in Portsmouth and in Gosport, in Fareham and Havant, who ultimately are my real boss, the young people who we serve. And that's pretty special. You know, there's something different about that. And they get under your skin very, very quickly. So I think, you know, a brilliant year, but really set me on a strong foundation for this role at Motivate. And then I still get to work with so many of the brilliant people from my time at the Chamber as well, which, well, is best of both worlds
double
in
bonus.
Many ways. Indeed,
yeah,
absolutely.
Absolutely, and I suppose when you talk to anyone who's left a job, they always say, well, the thing I miss most is the people. But you've managed to keep hold of the people.
Absolutely, 100%. And there are some great people. You know, the Chamber team is small, but it's mighty. And actually, you know, whether they're working on sort of the international trade documentation that keeps, you know, things moving out of the Freeport or out of Southampton Port or Portsmouth Port or flying out of Farnborough Airport or wherever. You know, they are an amazing team down to the membership and events, which is still going strong, actually. Yeah. And actually, I think I've got to hold on to those as well as the wider network. And actually, you know, Motivate, you know, we have a, we've been really kind of dedicated to focus our skills activities and things like that on some of those LSIP priority areas. So the young people we're helping, we're aligning it directly to the needs in our area. Because these are strong, local, proud community people.
Yeah.
And that really makes sense for us. So yeah, I look back on that time so fondly. And ultimately, it brought me down here, which is the main thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're glad you came, John.
Thank you.
We
very
are glad
much.
You came. Yeah. So that, I suppose, that takes us nicely into where you're talking about how Motivate links in there to the obvious question for people that have not encountered Motivate so far. What on earth is Motivate?
That's a good question. So Motivate is a youth work charity. We focus on trying to create life chances for those young people who are absolutely amazing, but may have had a bit of a rough start. You know, that might be because there's instability at home. It might be because they've been at risk of some kind of exploitation. It might be because traditional education isn't serving them and actually they find themselves at risk of exclusion. There are lots of paths to needing support. And Motivate aims to try and provide them with that trusted relationship that will really make the difference. You know, I'm sure, you know, I know, I certainly know I do. I'm sure that you do, Dave, and many of the listeners will have had someone in their life who believed in them, who gave them that bit of energy, you know, that spark that helped them move on and do something really special. You know, certainly for me, you know, I think back to when I was 14 and my history teacher, Dr. Bird, you know, he really showed me that it was okay to be a bit nerdy. It's okay to want to learn more and to really love history and politics and you know, religious studies, all those things that I really took to heart and actually shaped the man I was. And that very curious teenager who grew up to be, you know, a very inquisitive man. And actually that's really shaped the journey I've been on. And actually thinking about power and the structures between it and actually how we can make it so that the world is more equitable. You know, actually that, and that's what Motivate is all about, really, is trying to give people opportunities. Now, it's not about doing to, it is very much about doing with. And Motivate, you know, we have this saying where we talk about building on what's strong, not what's wrong. And we do that in all our areas. We have 8 strands that guide us, and that covers everything from our sort of youth hubs, which are our strong, place-based youth community centres. It's youth mentoring, you know, that big focus on one-to-one tailored support. You know, we're very lucky, you know, we announced just this week a new round of funding from the Office of Police and Crime Commissioner. You know, we're delighted to continue supporting those who are greatest harm and actually able to continue delivering that over the next few years, which is amazing, you know, real key part of our delivery. You know, we aren't a mental health charity. It's really important to say that. We know some amazing mental health counselling charities who we can absolutely recommend. But we are a charity that's focused on emotional health and well-being. And within that, working as part of the family. So, you know, working with all those around a child, whether that's in the home or indeed working with our young people in the communities they're part of. And actually that can take the form of being part of big festivals and big summer activities through to what we call street-based youth work, which is going out, you know, out on the seafront or on the high street or where there's areas of traditionally of antisocial behaviour and talking to those young people, talking to those families about why they might find themselves in those positions. Sometimes we do that with the police. Sometimes we do it with partner charities and sometimes we just do it on our own. But actually, that's a really important part of it. And that all builds towards, you know, that sense of trust. And once you have that sense of trust, the kind of big three kind of come out, which is youth skills, which is the idea of giving young people the ability to unlock their talents. There's youth futures, which is the opportunity for young people to apply those skills in their lives. And then when they're ready, and if they want to, really focusing on youth voice. And this idea that they can help shape the world so that it's a little bit brighter for young people that will follow them. And actually, we're blessed at Motivate with, I think, 16 young advisors now, youth advisors who are lived experience young people who've been through our programs, who live in our neighborhoods and are choosing to give back. Now, they do that voluntarily on some occasions. Some occasions it's a paid role where we want their advice. We treat them like a specialist. In the same way that if you needed a wall building, you bring a bricklayer in. We need youth expertise, so we bring in an expert, young people themselves. And actually, it's a really brilliant pathway that's very adaptable. And the other thing I would say about Motivate is that we are an organisation that's long-term. You know, we'll work with young people from ages 9 all the way through to 19, and maybe even up to 25 if there's some additional needs there. Now, that doesn't mean we're there every day of the decade, but we can be there any day of the decade that they might need us.
Mm.
And actually what you find is they might need some help when they're 10.
Right.
And then they'll come back to us when they're 13, and it's a little bit different. Yep. And they might come to us back again when they're 15, approaching that, you know, 16 is such an important age in the young life of a person. And actually, then when they come back to us at 18 as well, these moments of transition, and we will adapt our support to them. And those strands really wrap around them in so many different ways. So yeah, it's a big charity with a lot going on, but really young people at the heart of it.
Mm.
And actually the journey they go on, and making sure that those are as bright as possible. And that importantly, we're offering the right support in the right way, in the right moment.
Yeah. So that's kind of the summary of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you doing it? What's the Motivate footprint look
like?
That's
a great question. So we're all over Hampshire really now. And we have main bases here in Portsmouth. We have a Fratton Youth Hub. We have a youth hub in Gosport, in Foughton, just on the edge of the town there. We have a new base in Lee Park, which is so exciting for us to have a dedicated youth and community centre in the heart of, you know, one of the most in need areas, I think, in the region. And you know, exciting news for this summer is we're just about to open a fourth location in Fareham, which is a great, you know, addition to our portfolio. You know, we've been working in Fareham one-to-one for a very long time, but actually now we have a brand new facility there. We've taken on the community hub in Broadlaw, and so actually really great opportunity for us to lay down some strong foundations there, working in partnership with Fareham Borough Council, with Vivid and others to really bring that to life. But the honest answer is we work where the need is. You know, we work with a number of care experienced young people, and we coordinate the Care Experience Council. We do that in partnership with Hampshire County Council, and that takes us all over the county. Similarly, we're part of an initiative that supports young carers, who are those under 18 with additional care and responsibilities at home. That could be physical, it could be mental or emotional. That, again, takes us all over the county.
Yeah.
So, big focus in the soul loop, but actually we stretch out to where the need is. And how young people need us to respond, which is important. And then beyond the county, you know, we are an active member of the National Youth Agency, as well as a number of other bodies, and we are always advocating for young people and for taking a youth work approach. And that's something that we do, you know, at all levels nationally. And indeed, the other day we were having a conversation with a group of partners from all over the world talking about how we might use Lego as a means of creating a material language to help those young people for whom emotional literacy isn't the norm. So yeah, it's an amazing charity which does so many wonderful things, but really strong kind of foundations here in Portsmouth and across this region.
And obviously, you know, my previous background in policing, and you mentioned the Police and Crime Commissioner funding.
Indeed, yeah,
that's where I first encountered Motivate.
Absolutely.
Funnily enough, worked with a young lady working for Motivate at the time over at Havant called Sandy Davis. Obviously we've just seen here at Spark.
We have indeed, yes.
But yeah, working for her. But I remember, you know, back in the day then, you know, Motivate doing a lot of outreach work and in public spaces and engaging young people. All of that stuff still
absolutely
going
it does,
on.
Yeah. And that's a core tenet of youth work, really. You know, you can't expect young people to always come to you. You know, it's the onus is on us to go out there, reach them where they are, you know, particularly when you're dealing with those, you know, on the fringes, those who may feel excluded. You have to go and show them that somebody cares. You know, you have to show them that someone is, you know, will push them, you know, will challenge them to do more, you know. And one of the things we dislike the most at Motivate is this apathy, this sense of hopelessness. You know, we understand it, we absolutely do, but then we don't give it quarter. You know, we absolutely want to make sure young people are always, you know, being pushed in a loving way, making sure they're feeling that sense of, of what's possible. You know, and Sandy, you know, wonderful example of an amazing youth worker who was a core part of our delivery. Mm. He's gone on done so many amazing things, you know, in so many different places in Hive, and now obviously is here at Spark. And actually, I think this is public knowledge, is going to be part of our trustee board as well, which is amazing. So,
yeah.
And actually, one of the things that really defines our trustee board and our 15 amazing trustees that help bring our work to life is that they all have some lived experience, some experience of youth work, have some personal link to the journey. It is personal for them. And actually, you really see that in the compassion, the kindness, and also the seriousness with which they take the job. And actually, you know, I feel very lucky to have that leadership there. And then actually, I know a lot of my colleagues do as well. You know, we had a wonderful sort of summer meetup with them just last week, and it was great to have them all in the room. And they're really, really exciting group of people. And Sandy, you know, fits right at home amongst them, which is great. I think as well, you know, there is always a, you know, we take the long view because that's what families need to see. You know, you'll know this from your days as a police officer. Trust comes from a belief that you care. And actually, one of the easiest ways to show that is by not just doing flash in the pan activities. You know, you're offering long-term, real focused attention to an area that needs it. Now, we were really lucky at the start of this year to secure some funding from the National Lottery, who've been a partner of ours for a number of years, and really allows us to scale up what we do. But the real signature piece of this National Lottery funding is that it's 5 years, which means for our community work, for our youth hubs, for our health and wellbeing activity, which is only part of what we do, it's a really important part, we are committed to Gosport, Fareham, Havant and Portsmouth for the next 5 years.
Yeah,
that's stability, and it matters. You know, I had the great privilege of being able to share it with some of our team and some of our young people. And I was working with a young woman who's 13 years old and being able to tell her that we were going absolutely nowhere until her 18th birthday. You know, that will live with me forever.
Yeah.
You know, that is just a wonderful moment, which I feel so grateful to have been part of.
Yeah, that continuity counts. Definitely.
It really does. And actually, I think that's the key thing, right? It's that, you know, people need to know where we are so they can turn to us whenever they need us. You know, it doesn't mean we'll have the answer every time. It doesn't mean we're always the right person to intervene. But we know who will be. And we can guide, we can support, we can bridge, whatever word you want to use. And our youth work team, led by our amazing CEO, Kirsty, who is herself a youth worker, really have that at the heart of what they're trying to do for young people and do so well for so many.
Yeah, and in fact, I could go even further back in time from sort of 10 years ago when I first met Sandy to probably another 10 years before that when I first met Kirsty.
Absolutely.
Over at Gosport.
Yes, indeed, yeah.
So, yeah, incredible. Yeah. So, there was a line that you said there about, you know, why people need us. Which made me just think about us at Shaping Portsmouth and why does Motivate need us? I mean, you're a big charity. You've got a great local footprint. You're really successful. You're, you know, gaining some really good traction with funding from the OPCC, National Lottery. Mm-hmm. Why on earth would a charity like you want to be part of what is essentially a business collaboration in Shaping Portsmouth?
I mean, why wouldn't we? You know, Shaping, it's the place to be, right? Absolutely. I mean,
well, I'm glad you said that.
Absolutely, yes. 100%. No, I think, you know, we have had success. And I think, you know, we've worked hard for that success.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's interesting, you know, we still, like any charity, you know, look at our budget and see there are still gaps. Mm. There always are. You know, there is always need to do more. There's always ambition to do more, you know. I won't lie to you, you know, in the last 3 years, well, 4 years actually now, you know, our utility bills, our insurances, they've gone up 300%. Mm. So we're always needing to create new partnerships. You know, just standing still is an effort to deliver the services we do for our young people. You know, we haven't rested on our laurels. You know, in the last 3 years, we've opened 3 new youth centres. You know, we are investing in our communities because that's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But it doesn't come without cost. And actually, there's a real need for us to connect with others who see the vision in that. The honest answer, well, there's lots of answers, but it also matters to funders, whether that be the Office of Police and Crime Commissioner, whether that be National Lottery, whether that be Garfield Western or whomever else, to see that we're not just a charity existing in isolation, that we are connected to a community of people who care. You know, that matters to them. And you know, joining with an organization like Shaping, who really have that focus on transformation, have that focus on sort of collaboration over competition. And it's exactly the right sort of mindset. It's our ethos, you know, mirrored amongst the business community. I also think, you know, a big part, I mentioned it earlier when I was talking about our strands, you know, when young people come to us, they're usually feeling stuck. There is some barrier that is holding them back from achieving what they might achieve.
Yeah.
But just giving them a skill isn't enough. You know, you can help them get through their emotional challenges. We have a wonderful mentoring program that will support them. But just teaching them how to cook, or teaching them how to fix a bike, or teaching them how to swim, or teaching them how to fish, or whatever, isn't going to do the job on its own. What we need to do is have a network of people that we trust and who trust us, who we can connect into to show young people what's possible. But importantly, and this is one of the reasons that Shaping is so exciting for us, is what's possible where they live.
Yeah.
There are great jobs here. There are brilliant companies who do amazing things on their doorstep. Now, I remember, it must have been about 14 months ago now, just over a year, talking to a young lad who lives in Hilsey. He came to one of the youth hubs we used to run up there, interested in boxing, came to some of our boxing sessions. It was great. But in getting to know him, what you learned was that he'd never been to the beach. He'd never really left Hilsey. He'd not left the island. He hadn't got the bus. He hadn't got the train.
Yeah.
His world was the community in Hilsey, who are a fine peoples. But actually, our role as a charity, when we talk about creating life chances, in that case, was taking this amazing young man and showing him what might be possible. Now, we did that in lots of different ways. We took him out on one-to-ones. We gave him a bus pass that was kindly supported by some partners of ours, both at the Easy Travel Fund run by the Portsmouth City Council, but also Community Rail. We took them on the trains up to Butser Ancient Farm. We did days out, which built travel confidence. And then when they got a little bit older, it was about starting to show them what we would think is right next door, but to him was a world away.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's about having those, it's opening those doors. It's connecting with businesses. Now, it might be your big businesses who, you know, take on hundreds of apprentices every year. We do have some great success in bringing work experience, making a discovery day turn into work experience, turn into apprenticeship. But it also might be, you know, your local tradesman who might take on a local apprentice to help him go and work on a construction site somewhere. Or it might be your local sort of, you know, advanced manufacturing company that only has 10 staff, but actually wants to grow. And the way they could do that is through local young people. And so for us, it's about creating this narrative that Portsmouth and the surrounding areas are a place where you can live, where you can work, and importantly, you can build something really special.
Yeah.
Because that's what helps us win over our young people. You know, when, you know, let's be frank, when sometimes when there are other offers on the table, and those offers aren't always good, but they are easy money and there is less to do, what we need to do is convince them that actually a little investment now could lead to huge things in your future. And actually that is really important. You know, I often, you know, we've been lucky over the last number of years, and particularly over the last 2 years, to have a number of corporate partners come on formally, who'll host events for us, who'll host discovery days and those kind of things. And one of the things we always say is that there is the moment in itself where you can bring a young person in, or we can show a young person that you care. But there is that moment, that quiet moment afterwards, where actually that young person goes away, not only having learned a little bit more about what's possible, but knowing that you, as a successful business person or a person who helps run a big business or a small business or whatever kind of business, cared enough to take time out of your busy day to believe in them, to believe that they could, that leaves a mark, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And actually there is something really special about that journey of change. And that's why we've joined Shaping Portsmouth, because we see it being a community of people just like us. Who really care about this place, who really care about this city, and really want to make something happen. Because that's the ultimate legacy, right? Yeah. You know, long beyond the individual P&L forms have gone away, long after kind of our kind of clever marketing strategies have been played out. It's about having a city that has a places where the next generation can live, can work, can play, whatever whatever word you want to use. That's really, really special. And I think we believe we can be a key part of that. And inspire others to do more. which is part of the mission, part of that responsibility we have.
Yeah, definitely.
Generation of young people.
I suppose from our perspective, it's always great to see partners supporting other partners.
100%,
so
yeah.
We love it when, you know, we see great people like Mountjoy.
Yes,
running golf days to support you.
Mountjoy are just wonders, absolute wonders. Golf days, they helped us with their supply chain, and a particular shouting out to Victorious Flooring and carpeting companies, I think Ollie Watkins Carpeting and things like that.
Yeah.
And they laid a floor, and not only did they do it, they actually helped us out with the whole cost of the activities.
Yeah.
A lot of them did it for free as well, which really, for a charity like us, just makes the world of difference, you know, which builds on some brilliant work they did last year. Now, Mountjoy are an incredible, incredible company that have so many wonderful people. And yes, Simon, Dan, Charlotte, Duncan, Kane, all these different people make such a difference. But the truth with Mountjoy is it goes all the way down. It goes all the way down. It's in it's in the hearts of every single person who's involved in, you know, this brilliant work they do. And I think we're seeing that at the moment, you know, with their brilliant support of the Baton of Hope, right? You know, we're a hub as well.
Yeah.
You know, we're really proud. Our young people have got really involved in it. It's not an easy topic to talk about. But actually, you know, inspired by their example, you know, that's great. You know, it's been amazing. You know, and that's the same with people like ComServe, who've helped us bring our Lee Park Hub
Richard
into life.
And the team over
indeed,
there.
I was with
absolutely
Richard this morning.
Amazing.
Really fantastic team who are going to help us bring a kitchen to life over there.
Brilliant.
Not just a kitchen, but a teaching kitchen.
Yeah.
So we can have five people at the same time, all doing sessions, maybe a whole family together, which is going to be really exciting. You know, this week we were blessed with a new pool table, bought to us by Dan from Citrus FM, and the Citrus Foundation and his whole team. You know, Simon and everyone behind the scenes really making a difference there. You know, that pool table is going to be the heart of our Fratton Youth Hub on that beautiful new floor in the room that the city helped us create. So, yeah, there are so many other stories.
Yeah.
So I could be here all day listing them off. But yes, I think there is something really special about the city. And I, you know, it's funny, you know, when I talk about being a fundraiser, people often pull a face. They go, "Ooh, couldn't do that." But the truth is, you know, a good fundraiser, or a fundraiser who gets it right, should never be asking for money. What you do is present opportunities, and then hopefully the person will ask you, how can I help?
Yeah.
And you know what? In this fine city, more often than not, people are there asking how they can help before I've even reached the end of talking about what the opportunity
is.
And that real mentality makes a huge difference. It really does. And I think, you know, people inspire each other. You know, we just tend to celebrate, you know, well, we celebrate all the time, but we have a big celebration at the Queen's Hotel at the end of the year in December. You know, Paul and the team look after us beautifully there. But actually, what a wonderful moment it is to bring all these people together, and they get to share in the difference that they've made. And that event is led by our young people, and it's really, really quite something. So, so it genuinely is. And yeah, Mountjoy, you know, they're right at the heart of that, as they have been for a couple of years now. You know, we've got lots more exciting things planned, not least our Las Vegas ball that's happening in November, which we're really looking forward to. So, which is a brand new thing for us.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, no.
Absolutely.
Brilliant stuff. And it's as you say, it's those opportunities. And sometimes, you know, those, let's call them corporate partners, you know, are much better placed to make some of those opportunities a reality.
They really are. And I think, you know
it makes a lot of difference. Sometimes it's not about money.
It's not about money.
Things you can bring to the party.
100%. So. And actually, you know, the both of us were at the opening of First Steps First Aid, new space in Portsmouth, in the North End. And actually, First Steps First Aid, you know, our relationship with them began because we were looking to help upskill our young people who have additional caring responsibilities with basic first aid. And actually, that's turned into a really interesting partnership where their expertise can help us train our young people who often find themselves in more vulnerable positions. And now they're helping us fundraise for defibrillators in our community hubs. And again, these are places which are underinvested in often. These are communities where there isn't a huge amount. So again, it just shows that commitment to place. And actually, you know, we're really excited about that partnership. But that's just, you know, three people doing amazing work out of a brilliant room in the North End of Portsmouth. It doesn't have to be big companies all the time. It really is, you know, anyone, it's lots of people making a little bit of change makes a lot of difference.
Yeah.
You know, so it's...
So what does the future look like for Motivate? What are the next plans? Where does it go?
Well, that's a great question. So obviously I mentioned earlier, we have our space in Fareham. And so we're bringing that on stream as we speak. We're hoping to have it up and running in the autumn of 25, and really getting that sorted out. And as an organisation, we are looking at sort of bringing on a new team, small to start with, but it will grow, and actually a team leader to build that out. We are kind of enhancing our spaces, so there's going to be some work going on in Fareham to bring that, give that space a new life, a new lease of life, I should say. We've also got, as I mentioned, our new kitchen coming out in Lee Park. I think there is, you know, we've worked a lot on our site in Fratton, and continue to look at our space in Gosport as well. So very place-based, I think, is the journey. We recruited our youth advisors in sort of for this financial year, and I think it's gone really well. So they're about 6 months in. We are on a leadership journey. With those youth advisors, you know, we really want to, these aren't your sort of, these aren't your traditional sixth formers who are looking for opportunities to build their CV before university. These are really kind of, you know, really brave, really interesting young people who've overcome a lot and want to make a difference. And actually, so it's a different journey of change that we want to bring to life. And you know, we're doing some leadership training. We're looking at the Lego piece again, looking at how they can use that, become our sort of advocates. We're working with Unlock and the, you know, brilliant organisation here in Pompeter to do some leadership training there as well. We've got some big focuses. So we do have our annual Christmas appeal called the Big Give, which is a really key part of our key part of our year. You know, it gives us it gives us a moment to really bring people together, but it's also money that, you know, is given flexibly, which allows us to adapt to the changing needs of our communities. The signature piece around the Big Give is that every donation that's given within a week, the first week of December, is doubled, which is really exciting, and it's a really brilliant way for people to make a difference in their community, and really allow us to meet young people where they are, to meet families as they need us. And then, as I mentioned earlier, you know, we're always on the lookout for businesses, entrepreneurs, to for organizations that can help us create youth futures opportunities. Now, that might be a single discovery day, it might be an afternoon, might be an opportunity to sit down with your apprentices or your trainees, and it might be work experience, potentially it could be building a shared pathway towards an apprenticeship, but or anything in between. But there is a lot going on in that space, and we're getting our pieces together, the right people in the right places to make that happen. There has been a lot of change, I think, but we launched a new strategy in May. In May this year, which is going to guide us through to 2028, and I think that's going to be a really key benchmark for us. But actually, you know, one of the guiding lights within there is that, you know, we've committed to involving young people in every decision that affects them over the next 3 years. You know, we've committed to opening that fourth youth centre. You know, we've committed to pursuing a quality mark in youth work, a national standard, which we will hold, you know, in terms of training the next generation of youth workers. You know, as far as we're aware, there aren't many organisations down here that do hold that. So there are lots of these things that we want to bring to life and really present ourselves as, you know, the best in class for youth work. And actually, I don't think we're that far off. No. And actually, I think we've got the right people to make it happen.
Yeah. So certainly sounds like the motivation is there to keep moving forward.
100%,
a lot of drive lots going on. Mm-hmm. Look, we could, I'm sure, talk about youth work for another hour quite
absolutely
easily.
Absolutely, we could.
But we're sort of coming to the end of the time, and a bit of a Shaping Portsmouth tradition with our podcast is that we always like to ask our guests before we finish. Mm-hmm. For a recommendation in the city of somewhere to go, something to do within Portsmouth. Mm-hmm. So what would be your recommendation, Joe?
Well, I'm going to give you two, if that's all right.
We'll
one with my professional hat on and one with my personal one. So my professional one is a lovely space that I was recently introduced to by our good friends at the Parenting Network, which is the Cafe Make, which is led by the Adeline Bourne Trust. Yeah. It's in Fratton. Yeah. It's a wonderful charity shop / cafe / activity centre space. And the staff there are amazing volunteers, but there's also a number of people who volunteer there who have additional needs. Yeah. And actually, the cakes are sublime. It's a really good cup of tea, and there's some really great other foods, and actually the vibe is amazing. So should you be looking for a place just for a quiet coffee, or I have a lot of my meetings there now, I would absolutely recommend that, and that would be my professional recommendation. Personally, a place that is one of the first places me and my wife went to when we first came down to Portsmouth and has become a sort of real second home to us, is a beautiful wine bar called Crushed and Cured, which is just round the corner from the Waitrose. I think it's Marmion Road, I think.
Yeah, yeah,
Marmion. So just off the Albert Road. It's only small. It's got about 30 covers, I think. George, the guy that runs it, is really knowledgeable, got a hugely successful career in hospitality, and decided he wanted to kind of push his sort of understanding of wine and actually opened Crushed and Cured. If the opportunity allows, I would heartily recommend to go there. If the opportunity allows and you can join one of his wine tasting evenings, you will learn so much. And actually, it's a place that brings us so much joy. It's a place we were so welcomed. We've made some really nice friends, and actually there's everything from live music to sort of Christmas parties to I went to an evening of Eastern European wines there, which was brilliant, and I've never had Bulgarian wine before, but he knows his stuff, and actually he's a really welcoming, as are the whole team. So Crushed and Cured would be my personal recommendation. It's a bit of a hidden gem, I think, in the city, and I would heartily recommend.
One I've never visited, so it's always great to take a recommendation away.
100%, absolutely.
And I must admit, the wine tasting evening does sound good.
Oh, it is very good, absolutely. It is
I'm going to take that one on board.
But brilliant.
It's been great chatting to you, Joe. Very, very glad to have Motivate as one of our shaping partners, and very glad that you're very excited about being one, because I think there is a lot we can do together.
100%.
And you know, we've spoken a lot about community, and it is great to sometimes bring different elements of our community, business and charitable sector, youth work, all together in what you're doing, and try and support and help you. But in the meantime, you're doing some great stuff at Motivate.
Thank you
for coming in and telling us all about it.
Thank you, Dave. And really great to be part of the Shaping family, and looking forward to what comes next.
Brilliant. Great talking to you, Joe.
Cheers.
This podcast was brought to you by Shaping Portsmouth, working to make Portsmouth the number one UK city in which to invest, live, learn, work and visit. To find out more, please visit shapingportsmouth.co.uk. This podcast was supported by Spark Community Space and Portsmouth Community Lottery.